Some of us once had great hopes, but life has not worked out the way we hoped. You had great dreams. I'm here to tell you this morning that God's not finished with you yet. Don't close the book while God is still writing a chapter. God can rewrite your story.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This is the third message in Pastor Brian Grant's series entitled Lessons from the Life of Abraham. This series follows the life of the patriarch, beginning with the call of God upon his life, a call accompanied by certain unconditional promises made to him at that time. This week's message picks up the story in Genesis chapter 15. Earlier in the story, Abraham had been humiliated by a great failure of faith. We heard about that in the previous message. By failing to trust God and acting on his own devices, he put himself and his wife in an exceedingly precarious situation from which he was rescued only by the merciful intervention of God. The story of Abraham could have ended right there. But in today's message, we will learn through God's dealings with this man a deeply personal lesson that no matter the past failure, God can rewrite the story. Have your Bibles, please turn with us now to Genesis chapter 15 and listen as Pastor Grant brings his message entitled, God Can Rewrite Your Story. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A frog believed his destiny was to turn into a handsome prince. And for confirmation, he decided to visit a fortune teller. The fortune teller gazed into her crystal ball, and as she gazed into her crystal ball, she said, I see something. You're going to meet a beautiful young woman. He was getting excited. I knew it, he said. I knew my destiny was to become a prince. The fortune teller continued, from the moment the beautiful young woman sets eyes on you, you will fascinate her, and she will have a desire to know all about you. The frog could hardly control his excitement. He asked, where do you see me? Am I at a singles club? The fortune teller answered, no, it's actually a biology lab. He wasn't going to be a prince. He was going to be part of a biology experiment. Like that frog, some of us once had great hopes, but life has not worked out the way we hoped. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody here like that this morning. Life has not worked out the way you hoped. You had great dreams, but things just have not worked the way you hoped. I'm here to tell you this morning that God's not finished with you yet. Amen? So as I said a couple weeks ago, don't close the book while God is still writing a chapter. God can rewrite your story. Number one, I want to share with you three things this morning as we talk about God rewriting your story, and we're sticking with our text in Genesis chapter 15 to get three main thoughts. Number one, God can replace your fears. All of us have been fearful at some time, right? I remember we were on a flight some years ago, Cheryl and I, we were on a flight. I'm not even sure where we were heading to, but I wasn't feeling particularly good. And we hit bad weather. And after we hit bad weather, the plane dropped and it started bouncing around. And I looked outside. It looked like the wing was going to fall off. And somehow I just started feeling worse and worse until finally I said, hold me. And this big man, I'm trying to stick my head under my wife's shoulder. Can you imagine that? Fear. fear makes us do all sorts of stuff, doesn't it? But thank God that fear in my case was just passing. It was fleeting. But sometimes fear sticks around for a long time. In Genesis 14, Abraham's nephew Lot and others were captured by the armed forces of four kings. And it is very interesting what happened. The chapter 14, we're not going to take the time to study it, but Abram was determined to rescue his nephew Lot. So what did he do? He armed, the Bible says, 318 of his servants. Listen, Abraham had some money. Amen. The Bible says he armed 318 of his servants, and he went after the kings. Four kings, the armed forces of four kings. Now, what chance did Abraham and his 318 servants have against these kings? But God was with him. Amen. And amazingly, Abraham was not only able to rescue Lot, but he was able to rescue all the people and the property that these kings had captured. But now in chapter 15 of Genesis, reality has set in. And Abraham, the Bible indicates to us, Abraham was now afraid because Abraham feared that these four kings would regroup and attack him and that his 318 servants would not be able to defend him this time. So the Bible, as we come to Genesis chapter 15, we find that Abraham was afraid. You see, even people of great faith experience fear. So today, I want to share with you quickly as we move along, I want to share with you two antidotes to fear. Because I believe there's somebody here that you are paralyzed or you're struggling with fear. And if you're not struggling with fear right now, somewhere along the line, something is going to hit you and is going to send your world reeling. Number one, I want you to recognize God is your shield and refuge. Amen. So here we find Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Abraham. Why? Because I am your shield." Listen, Abraham, I'm your shield. I'm your refuge. I will protect you in all storms, no matter what is facing you. And I'm here to let you know this morning that God is our refuge. The Lord is my refuge and strength. Remember that verse, what? A very present help in time of trouble. He's right there. Abraham had just defeated these kings. So why was he so afraid? He had just defeated these four kings, and all of a sudden, he's afraid. It makes no sense, does it? You see, when he defeated the first time, when he attacked the four kings, he did that trusting in God. He was trusting in God to do the impossible. But all of a sudden, he's now at home, and he's worried because he's thinking about his own inadequacies. And his lack of resources. I only have 318 men, and they have thousands of troops, and they are trained. You see, before he was trusting in the living God, but this time he's worried regarding his own resources. You see, although God is our refuge and shield, it has no impact on your stress unless, secondly, you commit your anxieties to God. You see, sometimes I've run into people, and you know, sometimes we have prayer meeting here at church, and sometimes somebody is so trust. God has done some incredible thing for folks, and they come and they testify to the goodness of God, and we also say, "Hallelujah, praise God." The next time you see the same person, they forgot what God did yesterday. Does that ever happen to you? God did something special for you yesterday, but I see you today and you're like, "I don't know how I'm going to manage. Brother Brian, do you know all that's going on in my life?" And sometimes I said, "But you remember, there is a God who did something yesterday. Do you think he's still alive today?" Somehow Abraham forgot the God who helped him. Can he help you again? Oh, I want to ask you, my brother and sister, can God help you again in the middle of today's drama? Can God help you? Oh, you might not be a Christian. I'm here to tell you, and this morning we're going to show you how to get to know Jesus, how to get to know God, because when you come in contact, listen, this verse, what I'm talking about, has no application for you. If you're not a Christian, if you don't know Jesus, he is not your shield. He's a shield to those who know him. He's a shield to those who are part of his family. You say, Brother Brian, I'm a child of God. I was born into this world. No, we weren't born Christians. There's a mistake in the world. People say, we're all children of God. No, we are not children of God. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14, tells us how we become children of God. It says, for those who believe. It's only to those who believe. He gives us the right. He gives us the authority to become children of God. We are all creatures of God. We were all born creatures of God. But we become part of his family, the royal family of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you really a child of the living God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation? But I said, commit your anxieties to God. That, you see, he is our shield. It doesn't really help your stress level until you commit your anxieties to him. Amen. And so here's what Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It tells us what? Be anxious for? Say that again. Be anxious for what? Do you think God really means that? You say, Brother Brian, I think he means I shouldn't be anxious for the small stuff. But come on, the big stuff, he couldn't... God says, be anxious for nothing. Brother Brian, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't realize our finances. You don't realize the health. You don't realize... I don't need to realize. There is somebody who knows everything that's going on. The living God knows everything that is going on in your life. And the Almighty God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. What is the word? Everything. What is everything? Is everything, everything? Everything includes the little and the big, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What? Let your requests be made known to God. Listen, he's saying, commit your anxieties to me. And when you, as a child of God, remember right now, this is for the child of God. And if you're not a child of God, still follow on, because you can become a child of God this very morning. He says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Oh, thank God for his peace. This peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh, people, I understand that the big concerns, some of the big things that worry people are health issues and financial issues and getting old, and some are worried about family problems and terrorism and crime. I don't know what's your issue, but I know the God who can solve your issue. Some years ago, Cheryl and I, we were going through years ago. My daughter wasn't even 10 years old at the time, and she listened to our conversation, and she realized her parents, who had taught her so much about the Word of God, were stressing out. Do you realize preachers sometimes forget their preaching? Did that shock you? So she hears all of this stuff, and she goes upstairs. We didn't know why she left, But when we went up to the bed, there was a very nicely, was she wasn't even 10 years old, a very nicely written 3x5 cards. And on it were written these words that I want to put up on the board, because I want everybody to hold on to Psalm 56 verse 3. And what does it say? Whenever I am afraid, what? I will trust in you. I want to tell you, do you know what that did to me? I went up to my room. The writing was so beautiful, by the way. But when I read it, I said, wow, God, thank you. Thank you for reminding me. Listen, whenever, you heard me, child of God? Whenever, right now you're afraid. Whenever I am afraid, what will I do? Young people, you need to grab it. Older people, you need to grab it. It doesn't matter why you're stressing. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And so this morning I'm here to say, no, your life story might be one that's filled with fears. I just want you to know God is willing to calm your storms if you would enthrone him, the Lord of your life. I want to emphasize that. Because I find sometimes we as Christians, we just want enough religion to get to heaven. Do you understand what I'm talking about? In fact, I'm not talking about religion. I'm only use that because that's the term. Later I'm going to tell you I don't believe in religion. I'm not a religious person. I'm about relationship. A relationship with Jesus. But some of us only want enough of that to get it to heaven. Just to know your sins are forgiven. Oh, my friend, you are missing out. You know, sometimes I talk to young people and they think they're so cool. Oh, I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven, but I'm going in my terms. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Old folks, so the same young folks, they get older, you know. They're still the same way, just cruising. Particularly the guys. Did you notice we baptized 2 persons this morning? You know who they were? Do you know we're bringing 6 people into fellowship? You know who they are? Do you know there are guys who come here to church regularly and are not members of this church? Do you know there are a lot of guys who, I want to do my thing. I don't want no dedication. I don't want no commitment. Why do I have to make a commitment? I'm going to tell you something. Until you really commit your life to Jesus, listen, Jesus ain't losing anything. In case you thought, can I give you a news flash? If you decide not to commit, Jesus ain't crying. You are the big loser. We are the big losers. When we fail to commit to Jesus, that's why the storms are blowing you so. But when you hold, listen, your anchor will hold when you are committed to Jesus, when he is your master, when he's your Lord, when he's your king. And young person, older person, it is my prayer that some young person or older person who is a Christian this morning will say it's time to serve Jesus. Amen. Listen, God cannot only replace your fears, but God can restore your hope. Did you know that? God can restore your hope. Abraham was afraid, but there was something else bothering Abraham. Abraham's hope was fading. You see, when Abraham was 75, God promised to make him a great nation. He and Sarah, his wife, were excited because they would be the only couple buying diapers for their baby and for themselves at the same time. So Abraham figured, God is going to act quickly. God is going to move fast. After all, I'm already 75. And now here in this chapter, Abraham is about 80 years old. Sarah is 70. And in case you missed biology class, 70-year-old women don't have babies. I hope I didn't shock you. The oven was closed for business. Abraham had put his hope in God, and he felt like God had let him down. So let's see what God says. God knows By the way, when your hope is fading, don't think God is surprised by anything. God knows your thoughts better than you know them yourself. So God comes to Abraham in Genesis 15 and he says, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield." But he says also, "Abraham, I know I'm your shield because I know you're scared. But Abraham, I know you got another problem. You have lost your hope. So Abraham, I want you to know I am your exceedingly great reward." So let me paraphrase though what Abraham said to God. Here's Abraham's answers. God says what? What? "I'm your exceedingly great reward." And Abraham says, "But Lord God," verse 2, "what would you give me, seeing I go childless and heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, a man born in my house, one of my servants, is going to have to be my heir. You didn't give me no offspring." Can I give you the grand paraphrase? Abraham saying to God, "Lord, you're okay. But what I was really looking for is a son. And since you have not delivered, I'm going to have to just take matters into my hands and go with my servant." Can we talk? You know, sometimes we feel that way too, eh? God, you just haven't delivered. I don't want you to miss two important things. Two important things. Number one, God himself is our greatest reward. Grab that. God himself is our greatest reward. In the Hebrew, when God says, "I am your exceedingly great reward," in the Hebrew, here's how it translates out. "I am your superabundant, very exceeding, much reward." In other words, God is trying to get across to Abraham, "Abraham, if you've got me, you've got all that you need." I want to park here just for a minute, if you don't mind. Because I think sometimes we miss it. God himself ought to be enough. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir recording a song that I love. And what does it say? It says, "You're more than enough for me." Anybody ever heard it? Oh, isn't that a wonderful song? "You're more than enough for me." But it's a beautiful song. But as I prepared this message, I want to ask you, is it really true? Is God more than enough? Is the Almighty God, the one who made heaven and earth, is he really more than enough for you? You see, we're glad to have God in our life. Come on now. Many of us as Christians are glad to have God in our lives, but if God does not deliver the blessings on time, not only delivering the blessings, you know, he better deliver them on time. He's better deliver the job that you've been praying about. He's better deliver that health. Oh, you've been praying for, you've been not so well, and you're wondering, why in the world is he taking so long? God, oh, you've been praying for that mate. Listen, do you know what Christians do sometimes? They may even give up on God because God has not delivered the blessing. You see, Abraham was focused on the blessing, not realizing that the blessor was the greatest reward. I don't want you to miss that. Sometimes we focus on the blessing. What can God do for me? And not focus on the blessor. And I'm here to let you know this morning, the greatest reward we can ever have is to have God in our lives.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.